Now all these doctrinal categories I've mentioned, whether of the Hinayana or of the Mahayana, they're all important. They all try to give expression in their own conceptual way to that vision of the nature of existence. They help us to get a glimpse of the nature of existence, but we mustn't dwell upon them too much. Otherwise, there's the danger of confusing perfect vision with right understanding in the purely theoretical sense. And if I have done nothing else this evening, I hope at least I have been able to stress this fact, that samyak drishti, the perfect vision, is a vision, is an insight, is a spiritual experience of the nature of existence, in accordance with which we must transform and transmute our lives, our being, at every possible level, at every possible aspect. So in order to avoid, in concluding, any conceptual sort of emphasis, let me close with a simile, with a comparison. Suppose we want to go on a journey. Suppose we want to climb some lofty mountain peak, whether in Wales or Scotland or Europe or even in the Himalayas. What do we do? First of all, we study a map. A map of the whole countryside, map of the foothills, map of the mountain itself. This study of the map corresponds to the theoretical study of Buddhist doctrines, knowing all about the Madhyamikas and the Yogacharins and the Abhidharmikas and so on. But we have to start our journey. We have to get going. We have at least to get to base camp. And this corresponds to a preliminary practice of the Buddha's teaching. A preliminary practice, our little introductory practice, as it were. And eventually, as we go on our journey, we catch a glimpse one day. It may be after days, it may be after weeks, maybe even after months. We catch a glimpse of the peak to which we are travelling in the distance. We've come only a little way. We're still far from the bottom of the mountain, but in the distance we see the mountain peak, perhaps the snow peak, shining afar off. It may be a score of miles, it may be 100, and in the Himalayas one can certainly see very far indeed, but we see it. We know it's there. We have a direct perception of it, a vision of it, even though from a very great distance. So this stage corresponds to perfect vision, and we can go on from there, keeping our eyes on that peak, never losing sight of that peak, at least not for more than a few minutes, we can accomplish our journey. And the vision, the sight of that peak, will give us inspiration and encouragement the whole time. We may not care. In fact, we will not care how long the journey, how many nights we spend on the way, how difficult the terrain, how cold or how hot it is. We may not care whether we're starving, so long as we have our eyes fixed firmly on that peak in the distance, and we know that we're getting nearer and nearer and nearer every day. And one day, of course, we shall find ourselves at the foot of the peak. So this process of travelling with the peak in view corresponds to the practice of the remainder of the Noble Eightfold Path. And eventually, of course, we find ourselves on the lower slopes, we climb up, eventually find ourselves on the peak itself, on those virgin snows, and this, of course, represents the state of enlightenment. So I hope that in the course of the talk this evening, I've been able to give you some idea of what right understanding, or better, perfect vision, really means as the first step, the first anga of the Buddha's Noble Eightfold Path.